In past wars, American athletes have made notable contributions. Commentator Frank DeFord offers some of the most prominent examples.
In the Spanish-American War, Teddy Roosevelt especially sought out Ivy League football players for his Rough Riders. He thought they were the most bully types of all. The one athlete most identified with the Korean War was Ted Williams, who, though he had lost three seasons in the heart of his career in World War II, was called back as a Marine fighter pilot and flew 39 missions, many of them as a wing to John Glenn. By contrast, of course, the one athlete most identified with the Vietnam War is Muhammad Ali. He, of course, for refusing to serve. In World War II, the Good War, athletes joined up in proportions comparable to the whole general young male population. Well over 1,000 professional baseball players served, as so did more than 600 NFL players. Of the many athletes killed, Niles Kinnick of Iowa, the 1939 Heisman Trophy winner, was the best known. It was World War I, however, where cruel fate attached itself to two of the most prominent athletes of the early 1900s, precisely the two young men most compared to the paragon, Frank Merriwell, the turn-of-the-century fictional hero celebrated for his exploits on the field as well as for his grace and sportsmanship. One was Christy Mathewson, the star pitcher of the New York Giants. The other was Hobie Baker, America's first great hockey player, namesake of the award that is now presented to the top U.S. college player. Christy Mathewson's pitching career, 373 victories, wound down just before America joined the war in 1917. But he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds then, and even though he was 37 years old, he volunteered and was commissioned a captain. When Mathewson was training in France with live gas in a drill, there was some sort of a panic. He didn't get his gas mask on in time, and he ingested a considerable amount of the poison. He was never really healthy after that, and his system weakened. He was no match for tuberculosis, which he contracted shortly after the war ended. Mathewson died in 1925, only 45 years old, celebrated then as our most beloved sports hero. Hobie Baker graduated from Princeton in 1914, where he had been a football All-American as well as hockey's eminence. F. Scott Fitzgerald, in particular, was fascinated by his legend. There was no professional hockey in the United States at that time, however, and Baker chafed at being on Wall Street. He missed the action. He missed the game. When we declared war, he immediately signed up as a pilot and was one of our first flyers in France. Hobie Baker had found a competition again, and he reveled in the dogfights in the skies. In a strange way, he was sorry when the war ended. He was losing his skates again. A few days after the armistice, Baker went back out to his airfield and asked to take up his plane for a last spin. It rose to a few hundred feet and then plummeted to earth. Ever after, there was always the tale told that Hobie Baker had killed himself rather than face the humdrum world of peace. Probably that's a myth. Whatever, America's great hockey star was ever after known as the last man to die in the Great War. If it were not, in a way, Christy Mathewson 7 years later. Our first two All-American sports heroes were both victims of war.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. To review the war news, a senior official of the U.S. Central Command has rejected reports that a large Iraqi convoy of some 1,000 vehicles is headed south from Baghdad, possibly toward the area of An-Nasiriyah. Army Brigadier General Vincent Brooks said the U.S. military has not seen any significant movement of Iraqi troops. General Brooks said the U.S. Army's 3rd Infantry Division yesterday repulsed an attack by Iraqi units near the city of Najaf, south of Baghdad. That fighting reportedly was the heaviest so far in the war.